morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. We have an exciting, unplanned show today. And, Mike, we have two of our old colleagues joining us for this totally unplanned, unexpected, and hopefully interesting show.
It'll be a fascinating show. That's what we do here at Democratic Perspective. If we don't always have the research at our fingertips, we just add more voices.
Right. Yeah, but we have Mike.
Well, yeah. We have.
Yes, and we have mics, but we also don't have our caller to talk about ranked choice voting.
Technical error this morning, and we ended up without a guest to interview. But we are going to eventually talk to this guest about a really important topic. New York City, there are six states that are doing ranked choice voting in their primary for the 2020 election. New York City will be by far the biggest a voter base to go to this system, ranked choice voting. It's simple and it's complicated. You don't pick one person, you pick a first choice, second choice, third choice, fourth choice. The introduction I saw in the New York Times about ranked choice voting said New Yorkers are used to choice, and they're very often used to not getting their first choice when it comes to all sorts of things. You walk into a delicatessen and they're out of the then you get the Zaza, and you're okay with that. You're okay with your second choice.
I wouldn't be.
So that's the system of now.
I'm listening to you.
A complex, and it is the guy we're going to talk to, a political science professor. It is systemic change. It is a big change. But if you're tired of the stranglehold of political parties, of all this partisan crap, ranked choice voting addresses that.
It takes away the argument of voting for the lesser of two evils.
Exactly. And it's much more
you
democratic.
You can vote for both lessers of two evils.
So we will never do it in the U.S. We'll never
have. You
can
rank them.
Yeah, you can rank the two evils. Let's introduce our guest here. We've got Gary LeMaster, now of Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Former Silent Gary. And we have Klaus von Stutzerheim. Did I get it right?
Yeah, close.
Close enough. Well, all right. My German is not great.
I'm back. It's cold up north, and I'm back where it's nice and cozy among my almost closest friends. Delighted to be back here. This is always the best part of my week.
I did set foot in Germany, but it hasn't improved my German at all. I'm sorry.
If you go back far enough on my mother's side, the Yakuzos. I've got to go back to the 14th century.
Yeah, 14th century.
Yakuza?
It goes back to Germany when they came down as marauding hordes into Italy with this nice peaceful civilization that was, you know, advanced, and then the Germans came down and screwed it all up.
Well, I was thinking of going to the Dorala, the national resort for a vacation, and I was thinking of going in June because I like mosquitoes. And, you know, and then I found out that Donald Trump had scheduled, G7 or G8 now, because they threw out Russia, and it went from G8 to G7. And the place was booked. But now it's open, so I'll be able to go there, spend some time with all the mosquitoes.
There are lots of bed bug ridden rooms available at Doral now.
Yeah, yeah.
So why did I
can't believe this. I wouldn't go near anything that's owned by Trump. You got to be kidding, right?
Well, I only go to Trump hotels. That the reason is because listen, a lot of times bed bugs bite people. They don't bite me. They bite somebody else, and so it makes me feel superior.
I think we're going off topic here.
All right, so let's get on a topic. You know, we're in obviously a constitutional crisis. Next week we have three distinguished lawyers coming in. We're going to talk about impeachment again and about the legal aspects of impeachment and what the process is, because some people out there are confused about the process. So we'll give a short schematic thing of how the process works. And we talked a little bit about it before. Being impeached is not being indicted for a crime. It's a removal from office, so forth and so on. Next week, and then the week after, we have people from No More Deaths, which is a border group that places water out for people crossing the border through very dangerous and desert places. I don't know the casualties right off, Micah, but the casualties of people dying trying to cross the desert illegally are high. And so what they're trying to do is prevent the deaths of people trying to sneak across
the
border.
What a horrible idea to try to save lives.
And one of their members is being retried. They had a hung jury on his first trial, and now they're being retried.
Sort of
like retrying Jesus. I don't know. I mean, the guy is giving water to people who are dying of thirst.
What's he being accused of?
Well, we'll find out in 2 weeks. But, okay. But it's a crime to help somebody get across the border. And if you provide them with water, you're
aiding and abetting.
You're aiding and abetting. And if you give them a place to stay to recover after they make it across, aiding and abetting. So I'm betting, Klaus, that that's going to be the charge. It didn't go over the first time. So it's interesting that they are going to the trouble of recharging him again. So that's in 2 weeks. And in 3 weeks, I do hope we'll talk about ranked choice voting, Mike, which, gosh, folks, I'm not sure I understand. I spent the morning and last night researching it, and the more I researched it, Mike, the less I understood. There's like 20 different variations of it.
Well, you know, that's a good point, Steve. I think it is something that has to be tried to be determined whether it's valid. I mean, I think, and we can do that. I mean, we have places where people are trying it. The differences aren't going to be so clear that you can just say, okay, here's all, because that's a whole different system. When you have more than one choice, when you're going to rank your choices, then your thinking's going to change, the amount of voter participation is going to change. So it's an apples and oranges comparison from the get-go.
So you like it in primaries. For instance, we're having a Democratic primary.
I like it because it's more fair.
So I could pick number one is this candidate, number two, number three, number four.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's the simple. It's ranked choice rather than having runoffs and all that other good. It's cheaper in a lot of municipal and county elections. You just pick.
It's called instant runoff.
Instant runoff.
Yeah.
And it lowers the whole party influence because you have Democrats and Republicans running for the office. And so you choose the person, not the party. And that makes it more democratic.
Let me
but
ask.
But
that
also
everybody.
Makes parties against it.
Okay. Let me ask everybody here. You know, we've been talking early for almost a year about how the Democratic debates are going to shake out, who should be supported, and what's happening. So, Mike has fallen asleep. But you know what's happened? Have the debates, the Democratic debates, have they made it clear who we should support?
Well, it's changing things. As of this morning, there's a new poll out from Iowa that shows Buttigieg as number three in Iowa.
Exactly.
So he jumped up considerably from the last debate. Klobuchar jumped up from the last debate. So it is, you know, it's people are noticing.
We're
making changes.
We're doing shout-outs today. John Kinnaman, a politically savvy guy in Clarkdale, messaged me about Pete Buttigieg.
Mayor Pete.
I said, "What, you're pretending that actually the content of a guy's character or the things that he says actually matters in an election," which of course was sarcastic. it's about money and spin, John. And he said, "Oh yeah, but he's got the money, Mike."
Yeah, he's gotten a lot of money. Elizabeth Warren's been going up in the polls,
yes.
Right? She's emerged as a front runner, they say, and some of the commentators.
Right.
And certainly in the top two or three, she's emerged. She's run a very strong campaign, right? And then we've had, all right, let me ask you guys, Bernie's had a heart attack. He's 78 years old.
Yeah, here's my view. I mean, as of right this minute, I would say that Elizabeth Warren walks away with it. Bernie, I think, will fade because he's deja vu. Biden is tired, and she seems to come across as the strongest candidate. Buttigieg is absolutely fascinating because The guy is scary smart. I mean, one reporter said you ask him a spontaneous question and you get an answer that sounds like he's been preparing it for 2 days.
Right.
So the guy is very, very impressive. Whether he makes it this time around is a question, but he'll be president someday, I'm convinced.
And so Biden hasn't been doing terribly, right, in the debates, but he hasn't been doing all that well, right, Mike? Ooh. Biden.
Well, okay, I was going to say, Klaus covered a lot of ground there. Let's take him one by one. Biden, if his voting record comes out, Biden voted like the Clintons. He was a Republican, and love Joe, love him to death, have beer with him, I'll have whiskey with him. That's where I elevate Joe. But the idea is, if his voting record comes out and they put it all together and voting for all the wars, voting for that stupid welfare bill, voting for that stupid crime bill, if his voting record ever gets collected and published, I don't think any Democrats, he loses Democratic votes.
It's true of all of the Democratic moderates, in my opinion. They basically are what were once progressive Republicans. You know, most of the moderate Democrats were Republicans at some point.
So I think Biden, Klaus called it, he's going to, and John said he's either going to explode or implode before the.
I'm much more positive about Biden than that. But I wanted to ask you about Klobuchar. She's raised in the polls. I've seen her in interviews and stuff. I thought she was very effective. She is a moderate alternative to Elizabeth Warren, say, or Bernie Sanders.
She's from Minnesota, where I live.
Well, then we got to vote.
Let's be unbiased.
I've met her on several occasions. She's a very smart. I knew her father. She's a very smart person. She was the county attorney when I met her for Hennepin County, which is Minneapolis. She has been a very popular senator in Minnesota. She wins even in the reddest districts of the state.
How? Why?
Just because she's genuine, she's authentic, she's honest, and she really tries to do her very best. I think she cares about right and wrong, which is something unique in these days in politics. But I think the weakness that she has is that she's Minnesota nice, that she has a tough time being tough, being strong.
Yeah.
But I mean, she really is. She was a tough prosecutor, a tough county attorney. So I have great respect for her. I just don't know if this is her time.
Klaus. My wife thinks she's the best thing since sliced bread. So I suspect that she has a lot of support among women when it comes down to it.
She
seemed very effective to me, Mike. What do you think? You're more on the left side of this for sure.
Is Amy
or off the left side?
Amy Klobuchar left enough for me? No, but I was real impressed with her on Rachel Maddow. Every time I see her, just like some of you guys said, she presents well every time. You're right. I think it's more, can a normal woman get elected president in the United States now? I think is the question. Is Klobuchar got the skills compared? You know, that's the other thing. By comparison, compared to the clown, compared to the pile of dung in the Oval Office,
the orange one.
We, you know, Klobuchar stands out. You know,
they're all better. They're all better. I'd vote for any of them over.
Right.
Talk about ranked choice voting. I'll vote for any of them over Donald Trump.
I mean, the thing about Klobuchar and Buttigieg is that they don't have the numbers. And unless something really surprising happens in Iowa, which is always possible, I don't see how they make it.
The moderate sort of anti-Trump Republicans, such as they are very, very upset about the idea of Elizabeth Warren being the Democratic candidate. And their argument is that if it's Elizabeth Warren, with her sort of, to them, extremely radical proposals, that there is a chance that as much as they dislike Trump, that he might win, she might not get the suburban voters that changed the last election in 2018.
Well, I think that's right. And, you know, the people in the Democratic Party, one maybe sitting next to me, who always think that the party should go further to the left and that would capture votes. And it's inaccurate, because if you look at the 2018 elections, where we caught districts that had been Republican, it wasn't by super progressives who won, but it was by people who were middle of the road Democrats. So I worry about Elizabeth Warren. You know, she's the candidate. I'll vote for her, but she would not be my top choice from a strategic point of view.
Democratic politics.
Marcia.
Stay on topic. I know you don't have your hearing aid today.
So you're saying that a left candidate can't win. Once again, I'm going back to the 2016 election. So we're talking about a candidate just this short of Adolf Hitler won the presidential election in the United States. And you're saying a left candidate like Elizabeth Warren can't win.
No, I didn't say that. I said that our odds are much better with somebody who's middle of the road. In fact, I can run you through a whole train of thought that postulates and proves that Trump can't possibly get elected.
Well, let me ask then: can a left candidate win? Can a Bernie Sanders? Can an Elizabeth Warren? Forget that particular. Can a left candidate win? Both you guys.
I think so, but I think we're taking a chance that we don't, in my opinion, ought not to take.
I don't think either one of the people you mentioned, Sanders or Warren, are leftists. I think they are actual Democrats.
Exactly.
I think that the party has slid so far to the right since the days of FDR that, you know, look at the Democrats in office in Arizona. Most of the Democrats that are now in office were Republicans before they ran as Democrats. The party of the Republicans moved so far away from them that the only place they could find a spot to land was in the Democratic Party, which had moved so far to the right along with the Republicans that it's really Republican light.
If I could,
one last thing is we have officially reached a point of oligarchy in the U.S. and we need radical change. And I don't think the change necessarily is radical. I think it's just we need to get back to being the United States.
Well, this is Democratic perspective. You will never get more truth than you just got out of Gary LeMaster on this show. In previous or maybe in the future, that is the whole shift of the United States to the right, and that the current Democratic field are just being plain old Democrats. That was the reason why the people in this room belong to the party and many, many others, because that's the Democratic Party we thought, or at least the one we wanted. That party that does something about jobs, that does something about education, that does something about healthcare, that believes that people should live and die in dignity, at least, and not in screaming suffering like the Republicans.
People need to reclaim the United States. Mm. It has been taken over by the very, very rich because of the dirty money in politics. And because of all the lobbying, you know, the revolving door of congressmen to lobbyists back to Congress, it's been taken over by the wealthy elite. And I think both people, the rank and file of both parties have had enough. I think they're looking for some
change. The populace
voted
for Donald Trump. Let me go back to a point that Klaus raised and just bring it up. And one of the most convincing academic studies is that voters tend to vote more against a candidate than for a candidate, which suggests that any Democratic candidate has a pretty good chance of defeating Trump the way things are going. So then, Mike, you think we need a really progressive voice, and so does Gary. And Klaus, you think we need to move toward the center?
The
center keeps moving around, Klaus.
Right.
Those are all vague descriptions, right, because you can't really nail them down. I mean, you can certainly say that Bernie and Elizabeth Warren are on the left side, but the ones that are in the middle are not really. I mean, they essentially subscribe to the same values. It's just their approach as to how to go about it is different. I mean, they're still Democrats that want all the things that that Mike just listed.
What I would ask is we have an election coming up. It's probably the most important in the history of the country.
In our
lifetime, Klaus. And we have Donald Trump, who is going to be impeached because he got we are old guys, so we remember Nixon's impeachment. And when Nixon got the impeachment process got going, they couldn't prove for a long time that Nixon actually directed the break into Democratic headquarters. And then they got the tapes. And this one starts out, we already have basically the tape of Donald Trump ordering an illegal and impeachable offense. So he's guilty right on the surface.
And I see these arguments on Facebook and all over social media. There is no argument. This is not a right-left thing. This isn't Democrats sabotaging, the Messiah of Trump. This is a clear violation of the Constitution. This is a clear violation of the rule of law. I don't understand Republican. This is the Constitution is the law. It's not some sort of thing we just threw together. It's the law. And this guy is clearly violating. And I had a guy ask me last night, be more specific. Okay, here's specific. He elicited a foreign government to meddle in our election. There is nothing clearer.
Many times he did.
I agree with Mike.
There's nothing clearer.
This is really not a left or right or Democrat or Republican. Right. This is a very clear event, a very clear process of him violating the Constitution of the United States.
For which you get impeached.
Right. And so I've been, I was sort of for Nancy Pelosi. I wasn't sure that politically impeachment was a good idea when we didn't, even because of the Mueller report, never managed to spell things out clearly to the American people. I didn't know.
It actually did, but people didn't read it.
I know it did. I read the first part of the report about Russian meddling. It's absolutely clear there was collusion. And what we're seeing with what he's doing in Ukraine is just collusion all over again.
Collusion and obstruction.
It worked the first time, and he got away with it, Gary. He got away with it the first time with the Russians, and so now he tried it with the Ukrainians.
This is shout-out morning. The League of Women Voters of the Verde Valley, that was their monthly reading book, was the Mueller Report. I sat around with 20 people, and they read the Mueller Report. So it's the low-information voter that is Trump's. And many, many others in Sedona are not low-information voters. These guys read and discussed the Mueller report.
There was a study out that came out, I read this morning, that Trump supporters, that unwavering support, regardless of the crimes he's committed,
the shooting on Fifth Avenue,
are Fox News viewers and evangelical Christians who will support him no matter what, as long as he keeps appointing justices that want to make the U.S. officially a Christian nation and get rid of abortion. That's their only issues.
Yeah. So let's go to Klaus, because we haven't seen you been hiding out in Montana, and your voice for moderate here. Elizabeth Warren as a person seems far from radical. She seems a very sensible, highly organized person.
She's very smart, no question about
that. But her plans are disturbing people. What I'm thinking, Klaus, and Mike and Gary too, is that whoever gets elected is going to have to spend the 2 years, first 2 years, getting rid of all the damage that Trump's done. Really, the whole thing has got to be cleared up. All these abandonments of principle, all these abandonments of environmental protection, everything has to be undone.
Allies,
we have to reestablish. So almost your first 2 years, whoever you get in there, are you really going to be able to get very elaborate plans through? Are you going to spend time undoing what Donald Trump did his friends and colleagues and supporters?
Steve, that depends on how the Congress comes out, right? I mean, I assume we're going to hold on to the House, and if we manage to flip the Senate, then you can get an enormous amount of things done right out of the bat.
All right, close. Democratic landslide, 2020, yes or no?
I don't know the answer.
All three houses, and many states.
I say we get the president, we get the House, and the Senate is in question, but it's possible that we get it.
Responding to Steve's question is I think that most of what Trump has done, what he's accomplished, has been by presidential fiat, by executive order. Almost nothing, and it's been by the heads of his departments, but very little has passed Congress. So
tax base of the United States. He's expanded the deficit by $1 trillion or something.
A trillion a year.
So he's
more
done,
than a trillion.
It's
a year.
Not just his executive orders. I mean, he's done damage because the Republicans supported.
That's about the only real thing that's passed Congress since he's been in office. It was enormous, but most of the other stuff regarding immigration, regarding the allies and foreign policy and so on, environment, those are all things or actions that were taken by his administration by fiat, not by congressional vote.
And he's not going to get a congressional vote now because of the Democratic House. So he's forced out. We are looking at another government closure, apparently, on the top of all of this stuff going on.
Yep.
Well, anything to keep the distractions up. He's got to keep the distractions. He's going to get more desperate for distractions. So another government closure is just the perfect kind of distraction he needs.
At the risk of sounding ignorant, I haven't seen this thing about the government closure.
Oh, yeah.
In two words, what's the story?
Well, the pressure for a closure is building up. We don't know what's going to happen. It's right now. It's in the background. But the process is set up that unless something is done, the government is going to get into one of these crunches where it can't function. We'll have another government shutdown like the last one, based on the same kind of a thing. I didn't want to get too distracted on that. I just wanted to point out that there's a lot of things going on. I worry that we can keep the focus on as Gary and Mike are saying, on the fact that really the impeachment, we'll be talking to lawyers next week, but the impeachment is fairly simple. And what worries me, guys, is sort of like Mulvaney's thing and the legitimization of this. If the president can go around and go to other countries, and ask them to help him win American elections, I mean, that's really kind of the end of our democracy. If that's just okay, if that's just business as usual, then what do we have in the way of law and order at all?
Well, that's it. And that's Trump overriding the Constitution. And maybe Republicans feel like it's okay to do that. You know, that it's all fair and love and war in politics. And if you can get a foreign government to help you out, so what? But you know what? We have laws against that. If you want to do that, then change the laws.
Well, look at what Republicans have done. If, you know, just to put that in perspective, and all they seem to care about is winning. You know, look at what they've done to with voter suppression by instituting, you know, strict photo IDs, by closing polling places in minority and particularly Democratic areas, by making it increasingly difficult for their opponents to vote. What's democratic about that? I mean, small d democratic.
Forget about infant mortality. Forget about slavery. Forget about Indian genocide. All the other horrible things that we don't admit to in this country. Mm. We were the beacon of
racism.
The world about the vote. Everybody voted. And guess what? We've been damaging that. We had to have the Voter Protection Act, the Voter Rights Act, to get states to run fair elections, for God's sakes. So, am I an America hater because we're living this lie called the United States? I don't know, man.
The ironic thing about all of this is that while America has been successful in many cases exporting democracy, and you know, my home country is a prime example. America turned it from a dictatorship into one of the most democratic countries in the world. America has never been that democratic. I mean, look at our structure. Look at the two senators per state, and no matter how big or small the state may be, and then you know from that you have the the Electoral College, and it doesn't matter who. Well, it matters some, but at the end you can win without having the majority of the voters. And to the rest of the world, you know, to whom America has preached democracy, this is absolutely incomprehensible. How can you not get to be president if you have the majority of the votes?
Last 20 years, we've had two elections of which the loser of the election became president of the United States.
Exactly. Two of the last three presidential elections.
It's a structural flaw. It's not an accident. It's not some curious lightning striking in the same place twice. It's a structural flaw. And there are many structural flaws in our system now. We've been going at this for 200 years. We've done really, really well. We've built this powerful country. We've exported good ideas as well as some bad ideas elsewhere. But we're long in the tooth in terms of the structure of the government and whether it's balanced. And a lot of the Republican stuff that you guys are talking about is because the demographics they see are against them.
Yes, they
are. Young people are against them. Minorities are against them. So what are you going to do? If you want to keep power, then you got to keep narrowed to the guys who support you. Right, Mike? That's the story.
You know what happens, guys? I mean, I have to teach the death penalty, okay, and talk about that. And what happens is Americans were 50-50 on the death penalty for a long, long time. But as soon as you start talking about it, as soon as you start talking about things, that goes to like 70-30. In other words, more Americans are against the death penalty. As soon as you start talking about life imprisonment and that you're protecting society, as soon as you put any rational thought into the death penalty, and it's the same thing, I think, with all voters and when it comes to social programs and the right and the left things. You know, taking care of old people with Social Security makes sense. Not for-profit health care. You know, I'm against socialism. But you know what? Not-for-profit health care makes sense. All you got to do is talk. So any candidate that comes out, whether it's Elizabeth Warren or Pete Buttigieg or somebody, that people are going to vote with them because it makes sense, regardless of what label the media wants to put on it.
Over again, we find that if you look at just the issues and take the party labels away from the issues,
and the personalities,
that the people, the majority of voters, agree on most of the issues. But as soon as they put the labels on it, they're absolutely diametrically opposed.
Given that's true, we've had the contest has been going on almost a year, and we got progressives and we got moderates. Do you guys have a sense of who's the best candidate, Mike? Who would you support? You were a Bernie guy in the last election. Who do you think is the best candidate, for example? Or do you have a choice? I mean, I'm not trying to
on you. I haven't watched a single minute of the debate. I don't watch the debates. I never do. The only thing that matters in this country is spin. So unless it's some sort of warm, fuzzy thing and you want to get to know a candidate or something. I like Elizabeth Warren a lot. I think she covers all of my bases. A Warren-Bernie ticket would feel good to somebody like... to somebody like me, it would feel good, but I don't know that it can get elected. So I think we've got to go to Klaus at this point. We have a scream of pain over your Bernie Warren ticket. Barf bags in the studio. So I'm going to take my friend's advice and pay a little more attention to Mayor Pete. And I'll call him so I don't keep screwing up his name. Mayor Pete, I mean, you talk about the quiet intelligence, the guy who sees. Elizabeth Warren has the plans. Pete seems to see the plans and express them in such a way. So, but who's he going to run with? So, you know, what do we need? Who are we going to pair Pete up with? And is everybody going to be okay with having, rather than the first lady, the first
I don't know quite the term.
The first husband?
It depends on what he's decided it, it is. I mean, I think it would be the first husband.
I think
that's a tough one. It is a tough problem. The other thing is, Mayor Pete's wonderful maybe, but he's only run a tiny little town of a city of, like, I think it's less than 200,000 people. His level of experience compared to Klobuchar
or Trump's was so extensive,
no, or to the other candidates is really pretty small.
Now, I never said that he would be a candidate for president. I said I admired him and that, you know, at some future time he may well be a president. But I don't think, you know, it's realistic to assume that he'll come out ahead. Again, unless some weird things happen in Iowa and New Hampshire. But I still think Elizabeth Warren, if she doesn't have it wrapped up, it's pretty close to it.
Well, Klaus is exactly right. We'll see what happens in Iowa. We got Pete, we got Warren, and if he starts chipping away at Iowa, at New Hampshire, at those early elections, and he comes out a winner, or vice versa, we'll know. So this is all kind of interesting, but
Mike. I'm just kind of curious about what you guys actually think and who you support, because we started this out last year, and I didn't know. I didn't know what was going to emerge from these debates. I didn't know what was going to emerge from the contest. We still don't know. We're still waiting for Iowa, which is about 3 or 4 months away. So who would you support?
Well,
and then we'll go to Gary.
One of the dark horses who isn't going to get anywhere, and I don't understand why he's still in the race, is my governor, Steve Bullock. And anybody who's listened to him has actually been very impressed. He would be a wonderful president, but he doesn't. People don't know him. He's never going to get there. Who would I? Well, let's ask whom I've sent money to. I sent some money to Steve just out of loyalty, and I sent some money to Pete because I'd like to boost him. But other than that, I'm just leaning back and waiting to see what happens, then I'll support whichever Democrat comes out of the primaries.
Gary?
I've been watching the debates, and I could support a wide range of candidates, really could. My favorite at this point is Warren. I think she has the best answers for the country. I think she's strong and independent-minded. I think she would make a huge difference for the average American. My big reservation with her, quite frankly, is, and she's about to release a policy for it, but Medicare for All. I'm all for the Medicare for All or some similar option. I question the transition from our current system, which we pay way too much for healthcare compared to other countries, and get less result. I am really in favor of a different system. I'm not sure that the transition
loss of choice, right? It would be complete loss of choice. I suppose you could have Medicare.
No, that's not with Medicare for All.
Yeah, that's not fair to say. You can't say that.
Why not?
Because I can choose my I'm on Medicare and I can choose my doctors. And
I meant there, you can't choose in other insurance. If it's Medicare for all, it's Medicare for all.
Well, there's no need for anything.
Joe Blow's insurance company, you can't go and get better insurance.
I have supplemental insurance.
But that's what I was getting at. There is supplemental insurance, folks, for
and there is in Germany, too, where you have the essential Medicare for all. But if you pay a little extra, you might get to see some doctors that that don't take the Medicare patients. So there's still some structure, but nobody in Germany and Western European countries goes bankrupt because he's ill.
No, I mean it does. Folks, we've mentioned this before. Mike and I have talked about it. There is no bankruptcy. Now there's a debate on the exact statistics, so we won't cite them. Bankruptcy is a major source of
600,000 a year,
based on
lead the world in bankruptcy for medicine.
On medicine, it doesn't happen in Western Europe. It literally doesn't happen at all. Right. Ever.
I got Sonora Quest now breathing down my neck. They're after my credit rating.
Oh my God. Gosh,
if I don't pay them by the 31st. But the idea is this. All we're really doing, folks, is shifting from a private system to a more public system.
We pay four times
Germany
more.
Has private insurance available. They can do that. We're just going to make more public available. We're going to push a more public system than we have now. If the ACA had a public option, all the Bernie-crats would be, I don't know, they'd be campaigning for Warren is what they'd be doing.
They'd be happy.
Well, in Germany, if you work for the government, if you're a professor or something, you have to buy private insurance. You can't use the public insurance. It's an interesting system.
Says who?
Says a professor that I talked to when I was in Germany. She's forced to buy private insurance rather than because she works for the government. Because if you work for the government, they want you to get your own insurance. Now they pay half of it or more, plus the insurance costs a lot less than the U.S. But anyway, that's what she said. So there are variations, and in fact, there's variations in all these Western European. I think Paul Krugman made a really good point, which is that basically, all the Western European systems that vary from very capitalistic like Switzerland to very socialistic like England, they all work better than our system. Every single one of them works better.
That's right.
There's one important point that you all forget when you discuss this thing. A normal worker in Germany, if he's paid, 100 euros, he only gets 40. 60 go to the government to support the social safety net and, the
free education. I mean, we can go on and on.
Right,
I'm good with that.
Free college. Oh, I'm good with that, too. I wonder, how that would fly in America. I don't think it would fly very well, although under FDR, the marginal top tax rate was 95%. So
I think Germans do really well is that they give you, if you have a child, they give you support. So one of the things we don't do is support young couples here. And they'll support you and give you support until the kid is 26 years old. And if you have another kid, they'll give you more support. They call it a gift. And I thought that was an interesting idea. In other words, the government and people of Germany are giving you a gift to help you get by when you have a kid.
Well, the thought is that it's
a gift. It's not an entitlement. It's not a stuff. It's a gift people of Germany have decided to do.
Time has just flown by, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
We're going to leave you. We're going to leave you with.
Tell them where to send the money.
Yes, there is a donate button on the VVID, Verde Valley Independent Democrat webpage. You probably should go there. But in the words, the immortal words of Indiana Jones, there is a difference, folks, between facts and truth. The right wing, the thug Republicans, do try to give you things that they call facts, but we give you the truth. We try to give backed up by facts. That's what we do here. They give you alternative.
And we express modesty compared to the rancorous self-esteem that we see in
That question kind of woke you guys up.
Just
I like that.
Just remind them what's coming up.
I say don't think philosophical. You want philosophy, call the Christelle. She'll hook you up. All right, folks, we got some great shows coming up. Election season's coming up. Please stay tuned. We got lots and lots of ways that you get involved. Give us a call. Give us a text. We have lots of ways you can contact us. Democratic Perspective has a webpage, a Facebook page. We have Verde Valley Independent Democrats has their page. Please go there. It takes money to make the show run. We want to thank the Democrats of the Red Rocks for all of their help. We want to make sure that we have our we mentioned that our meeting October 24th, which is tomorrow, in Sedona, excuse me, in Cottonwood at the Red Rooster. Oh, it's the 22nd? Yes. I'm sorry. Our meeting in Cottonwood is tomorrow at the Red Rooster Cafe. If you want to come, find, every time people come, they say, oh, I didn't know Democrats lived here. A lot of them do. They love to see you. We got some free food. We have some free beverages. Please show up. Democratic Perspective. Thanks, folks.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.